Well, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the cold face with Martin Krimmer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning, Martin.
Morning, Caesar.
Fresh gold is about to emerge this month from a yet another brand new Witwatersrand run gold mine.
Yeah, you know, we think that gold is dead, but just 80 kilometers southeast of where I'm sitting here with you in Johannesburg, a brand new mine is taking shape. That's the Burnstone Mine. It's a part of a company that's listed in Vancouver and in Johannesburg, and they've been beavering away for the last 4 years, and now their timing is perfect. Probably coming out this month with their first gold. They'll produce at about 250,000 ounces a year, and the margins of profit are really good because, I mean, their total costs are somewhere at $500 an ounce, and we know that gold is going pumping at $1,300 an ounce. And then that's not the only one. You know, 30 kilometers east of where we sit here, just beyond Benoni and Springs, another new mine has developed. That's Moda East. That's listed in Sydney and in Johannesburg, and that is part of Gold One, and they are starting to produce at a rate of 110,000 ounces a year. So we have these small, new, shallowish mines that are the first in their areas in the last 30 years. You know, people forgot that there was gold there, and these people have come up and they've got that. And then as we go west, you know, the similar thing is happening, as I've said before on the show, just at Doornkop in Randfontein, we're going to have another big mine coming up there soon. And then further along, the very big one is South Deep, which is Goldfields Mine, which will pump out about 750,000 ounces a year.
Wow, wow. Well, gold is alive and well. Electricity-hungry South Africa is now beginning to look to the Earth's geothermal energy as a possible power source.
You know, geothermal energy, we don't hear about it yet. We hear of solar, wind, hydro, we even hear of trash gas. We don't look at the Earth's power, that heat in the Earth that you can actually turn to account. And many other places in the world do that, and it's quite astounding. I mean, we've all known of warm baths and Bella Bella, where there is that heated water that can be turned into electricity if we want to do it for the community. But we didn't know until the United Nations Environmental Program came along here and counted the number of hot springs that we got. And 87 hot springs. I mean, it's not too bad. And then only a third of them really being used at the moment for recreational purposes and health spas and things like that. So you have a potential to actually generate some electricity out of that natural resource in a very environmentally friendly way. But at the same time, we don't have those tectonic plates that you do have in other parts of the world that result in steam coming out of the ground and things like that you can actually use for energy. But we do have very deep level mines. And, you know, a lot of our mines are needing cooling. And, of course, once you've got that heat, you can generate the power to generate the cooling. And this is something that's being considered now, maybe more economic because of the electricity price that's gone up. People are looking at all sorts of things. And this is one of the considerations with our deep level mines. Instead of having to drill down there to look for, you know, that hot energy, you can actually use it in a mine situation to cool the mine.
Do we have the technology for this?
Well, there's local technology being developed, and there's a lot of world technology. We have been a little bit behind from a local side of view, but still we can do it. And there's a lot of dirty water that also gathers at the base of a lot of these gold mines. You know, you could use the energy to purify that water.
Mm-hmm. Well, the U.S. developer of the flying car is preparing for low-volume production next year.
Yeah, you know, this sounds like fantasy in the James Bond movie, you know, but it's in actual reality. The experimental car, and they're not even calling it an experimental one anymore, you know, is being produced by Terrafugia, this company in the US, and the car is the transition. This is a flying car. Or a plane that can drive, as some people say. It looks more like that. And it's about 2.3 meters wide, so you can get it into your garage, and then when you put out the wings, it goes about 8 meters wide. So it's a two-seater, and you'd have to also have a pilot's license, not just a driver's license. So that's a bit of a complication. But from a petrol point of view, you can pull up, you know, when it's in a car form and just fill up with your normal unleaded. And of course, if you land at an airport, you don't have to pay parking fees. You can come home. But what this company is doing is saying we'll start producing it in low volumes. By the end of next year, they think they'll be producing it at about 10 a year. And they are taking orders now. People put down $10,000 deposits, which are refundable if they don't get these cars. And it's being done by a group of graduates who are also pilots. They are graduates from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in America. And this has become reality. You know, people have seen it. It works. And now they are going to build to order.
economic viability of such can
well, they're looking affordability. That is a bit of a snag at this point. We, in South African currency, we'd probably look at paying about 1.5 million rand for one of these.
Good Lord. Well, thank you very much, Martin Krumer, who is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next week, Friday. Thank you.